Peak Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
President-elect Barack Obama's speech in Chicago's Grant Park last week was about celebrating the campaign victory and reconciling with opponents. He didn't dwell on policy, nor should he have. I thought it was a hopeful change, however, that he included climate change and renewable energy among the few priorities he did highlight that night. With energy prices high and significant Democratic gains in Congress, Obama as president will have a better chance of signing significant energy-related legislation than we've seen since Jimmy Carter's presidency. Obama doesn't talk about peak oil. His energy policy is focused on energy prices, dependence on foreign oil, and climate change. Let's look at his energy policy from a climate change perspective, then, since many ways of addressing climate change also reduce our vulnerability to peak oil. 8 years ago, George W. Bush campaigned for the presidency on a promise to regulate carbon dioxide as a pollutant. When he became president, he dismissed the promise almost immediately. Obama will find it harder to renege on his promise to focus on climate change and energy policy. He doesn't have Bush's ties to the oil industry, so there's less pressure on him to renege. And the political landscape has changed in 8 years. Part of the change comes from new urgency. Changes are happening at a rate that was almost unimaginable 8 years ago. Rajendra Pachauri, the scientist and economist who heads the Nobel Prize-winning International Panel on Climate Change, told the New York Times last year, "If there's no action before 2012, that's too late. What we do in the next 2 to 3 years will determine our future. This is a defining moment." Now, too, the U.S. political constituency for action on climate change is far stronger than it was in 2000. Step It Up brought large-scale political demonstrations in favor of sensible climate policies and pressured presidential candidates to adopt pledges to achieve sweeping reductions in greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. Step It Up's successor organization, 350.org, is keeping up the pressure. 350.org's website has a page for emailing Barack Obama, urging him to personally attend the negotiations in Poland in December to replace the Kyoto Protocol with a stronger agreement. That's 350.org/invite, 350.org/invite. Unfortunately, Obama has also responded to pressure for a worse energy policy. He distinguished himself during the spring and summer's run-up in gasoline prices, refusing to pander with a gas tax holiday proposal, as Senators John McCain and Hillary Clinton did. However, after initially resisting, he succumbed to calls to start draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which was created to respond to interruptions in supply, not mere high prices. The New York Times pointed to Obama's sudden reversals on this issue and on offshore drilling as evidence that it's impossible to hold what they called a grown-up conversation about energy in this country. Obama certainly gave a lot of details on his energy policies. His campaign produced an 8-page energy policy with a cap-and-trade approach to carbon regulation. His version of cap-and-trade would auction off carbon emissions permits, rather than give them away, as McCain proposed. The auctions could raise large sums to fund other parts of his energy policy, like weatherizing 1 million low-income homes a year, workforce training for renewable energy and efficiency jobs, and tax credits for plug-in hybrids and other advanced vehicles. Yet now we are hearing signals that cap-and-trade will have to wait, because a tight economy means it's the wrong time to raise fuel prices, which is one of the effects of cap-and-trade. Instead, Obama's administration will concentrate on a stimulus plan to create green jobs. Well, it's actually very late in the game to limit carbon emissions and create additional incentives for efficiency. As for fuel prices, few politicians are likely to tell you that it's ever a good time to raise them. Yet surely it is better to raise prices now, in an orderly way, and use the revenues to adapt to future fuel shortages, than to let ourselves continue to be at the mercy of the market. Local planning, local energy, local food, they all continue to be crucial. Just now, I have some amount of hope that competence and attention from the federal government can boost those efforts enough to make us better prepared a decade from now. At the very least, I'll feel better knowing that I can concentrate on relocalization and worry less about my government arresting and imprisoning both citizens and foreigners without charge and torturing scores of people to death. I'm Carl Ettenayer. And that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Your cares and sorrows are gone. Oh, there'll be no more from now.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.